Sometimes we think we have a point to prove to other people. You have no point to prove to anybody. You have a point to prove to yourself. The person you want to win is yourself. Your greatest enemy is yourself. The enemy that deceives you more than any other enemy is yourself, flesh. It's yourself that does not want to go through squeezing, does not want to go through pain. You admire those who have extraordinary traits by their hard work and the grace of God upon their lives. But you do not want to do the extra that they did to bring the extraordinary into your life. Listen to me. Until ordinary people commit to a life of growth or life of growth principles, they can't become extraordinary. And the truth is, God is always speaking. God is always speaking. The question is, are you listening? Ask your neighbor, are you listening? God is speaking. Are you listening? You have heard words from this pulpit, week in, week out. And there's amazement to me. Sometimes when I see certain things, when I hear certain things, I'm like, have they not been listening? Did God not speak to them? Are they not aware that the word of God is God speaking to them? God is speaking. I pray he will give you ears to hear and heart to retain in Jesus' name. The Bible says in Psalm 119, Psalm 119 and verse 37, it says, turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in the way. Revive me in the way of righteousness. Revive me in the way of growth. Let my eyes help me, give me grace to turn my eyes away for things that does not benefit my future. Things that are irrelevant in your presence. Things that steal virtue and truncate destinies. Revive me in your way. Somebody say, Father. Come on, say, Father. Revive me in your way. Turn my eyes away from looking at worthless things. In Jesus' name. You cannot grow spiritually when your mind and your eyes are consumed by earthly things as if that's what matters the most in life. If you need a title for this message, it's come up to me. Come up to me. Come up to me. Come up to me. When you know what you need to know and commit to it, when you know what you need to know and commit to it, what you notice begins to change. Things around you begin to change. Your perception begins to change. When you begin to know the things God wants you to know, when you begin to expose yourselves to the things that God is presenting to you, the way you see things begin to change. You won't see it like every other person. I have a story I want to quickly share with us this morning. It's a story that changed everything. In Exodus 24, Exodus 24, I'm going to read from verse 12 through to 18. Exodus 24, 12 to 18. Then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there. And I will give you tablets of stone and the law and commandments which I have written. Wow. God is saying, come up and I'll give you what I have written. The Bible says the secret things belongs unto the Lord, right? Come up. I'll give you what I've written. I'll give you things you need to know. Amen. He says that you may teach them. So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua. May God give us good assistants. And Moses went up to the mountain of God. That is Mount Sinai. And he said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back to you. Indeed, Aaron and all are with you. If any man has a difficulty, let him go to them. Then Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Touch your neighbor. Say, neighbor, life is now in session. Are you present? Yeah, you better be present. Amen. Moses got to the mountain with Joshua. They got to a particular place. They stopped there. 6 days, they were just there. You will think that's exactly where God wanted to bring them. They had already come up. They had already taken steps to come up. But they were not really there. They were in the cloud. But there was another cloud at the top of the mountain. The first cloud. They were there for 6 days. He heard God say, come. He got there for 6 days. God did not say nothing to him. God did not speak to his heart. But he knew the voice of God. He trusted the voice of God. And he stayed there. 6 days, he stayed there. Maturity makes a person stay and wait until the next instruction that God is going to give. Anyone who is in a haste cannot grow spiritually. It was on the seventh day that God now spoke to Moses and said, come, now come. You are not where I am yet. Even I'm there with you, but you are not here with me yet. I want you to come up higher. I pray that this season you will take steps to go higher. I say you will take steps to go higher. Amen. Moses now went into the cloud, into the mountain that is consumed with fire. And the Bible said he went for 40 days and 40 nights. When God called him, God never told him how long he was going to stay with him. Praise the Lord. And one thing I found out was, as you begin to grow in the Lord, as you begin to climb higher spiritually, God will begin to show you ridiculous things. I mean ridiculous things. Things that makes no sense to the flesh. Things that the flesh cannot interpret. People get angry with the principles of the Word of God because they are still babes. They are Christians, but they are babes. Just like our children argue with us when we tell them to do the right things. First and foremost, they want to know why. Because it doesn't make sense to them. But you as a parent, you know the value of what you are instructing them to do. If they go to the bathroom, you tell them, wash your hands. They may wonder why. But if you keep it up and not washing your hands, you end up sick. Even if you go to restaurants and you use the restroom, you will see that the restaurant puts a sign in the restroom, especially for the employees. Make sure you wash your hands with soap for the benefit of our customers. Emphasis mine. Praise the Lord. Godly instructions make no sense to the flesh when you are a babe. Your connection with God is just your senses. God does not make sense. You can't analyze God's instruction. If you are still in the position of analyzing God's instruction, you are not ready for a lifting up. You are not ready to understand and know secret things. When the Bible said, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights, that was the end of chapter 24. And I was amazed when I flipped into 25. Please show me chapter 25, Exodus 25, verse 1. The first thing God said to Moses, are you ready for it? Are you ready for the first thing God said to Moses? In that cloud, in that mountain, the first injunction, the first instruction God gave to Moses, speak to the children of Israel. What did he say he should tell them? He said that they bring me. Those of you who are still debating in your mind about offering, seed giving, the first instruction that Moses was given as he went up with God, because the offering is the lifeline of the future of a generation of the children of Israel. He says, tell them to bring me an offering. Now, when he said, bring me an offering, was he in need? God was not in need. Hallelujah. He says, from everyone who gives it willingly, not grudgingly. That's why we encourage us, Paul told us, we shouldn't give out of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. He who gives it willingly with his heart. You know, you can give and your heart is not connected to it. Your heart does not even let it go. You'll be watching. Where is it going? Are they taking it away? Usher, and I need a change, oh. Change of $1. He says, take it from anyone who gives it willingly with his heart. He says, take my... Whose offering? Whose offering is it? Come on, answer me. I'm showing you the word of God. It's the offering of God. It belongs to God. Hallelujah. The offering belongs to who? Belongs to God. And he said, This is the offering that you shall take. Ha ha. Ha ha. Gold. Where did they get the gold from? From the Egyptians. When God told them, go and meet them, collect it. He gave them the grace to speak. Remember that the children of Israel are afraid of the Egyptians. But he gave them grace and boldness. Go get it. They collected it. The job you have is the grace of God. The life you have to go there is the grace of God. The leg you have to drive that car or to share a ride with somebody is the grace of God. The brain with which and the hand with which you use, it belongs to God. So when God is saying, bring it. He's saying, bring what I gave you. God did not ask them for cheap things. He said, you shall take from them. As the priest of God, you shall take from them gold, silver, and bronze. Why? These are the things that were going to be used for the building of the sanctuary to honor God. Hallelujah. Is somebody getting me? Amen. And God was asking them so that he can make their future better. Think about it. Somebody who refused to give the gold. Somebody who refused to release the silver. Somebody who refused to release the bronze. They won't get to Canaan to spend it. And when should they even find a place to spend it? They can't spend it on anything that satisfies. You know why? Because it is God that satisfies. Is somebody getting me? I'm telling you, I'm speaking to you like matured people. Amen? And I hope you are matured. Or you are maturing in the Lord. Anytime you get offended by the word of God, you need to check your salvation. You need to check your spiritual growth. Amen? Like I use the analogy of our children, as they are growing up, like I remember, my mom would tell me, do this, do that. Stubbornness will say no. Number one, because I don't even understand why. Why? Go and brush your teeth. You brush it in the morning. Now, brush it in the evening too. Why? I'm still going to brush it in the morning anyway. But dentists told us, and they are right, that if you don't brush your teeth in the night, you have eaten food. Germs can create cavity in your teeth. And the cavity can become infected. And from there, it can enter into your brain. Praise the Lord. When they say, oh, don't eat this, don't do that. But your long throat is like, no, I can't let this one go. I must eat it. I must have it. I must take it like Achan. Don't touch the accursed thing. Oh no, this is too beautiful. I must take it. That day, because of his own singular action, he killed himself. He killed his whole family. There is always a repercussion to an instruction you disobey, or an instruction you keep disobeying. When we are wise, we quickly adhere to what God is saying. It brings the fear of God on the inside of you. My mother would say then, you will understand. A time is coming. You will understand. When you begin to have your own children, you will understand. Children that get angry with their parents because they thought that the things that their parents did was wrong. and they began to slander their parents and speak negative of their parents, guess what? That kind of a child is sowing the same seed into his own future. There was a story. This is not an encouragement to anybody. Of a guy, his father, very rich, sent him to the U.S. to come and study. And something happened to his mom. Then the father married another wife. This boy became angry with the father. That how dare he marry that kind of woman. He hated his father for it. When this boy grew up, as I'm speaking to you right now, he has 5 children from 5 women. 5 children from 5 women. How dare he? Beware of the seed you sow. Beware of what you don't understand. Beware of what you speak against that you do not understand. Hallelujah. Because a time will come, your eyes will be open, but then it might be too late. Praise the Lord. The seeds you sow as you grow is the benefit you reap in your future. Sometimes we think we sow the seeds we are sowing for now because we are sowing out of necessity instead of out of love. But you are sowing it for your future, for the future of your children. Are you willing to do what you have never done before to stretch yourself? To stretch yourself. Moses was in the cloud of glory for 47 days. I counted the 1 week he stayed before. That was a stretch. That was a stretch for a man who just heard, "Come up to me." If somebody say, "Oh, I'm in Oklahoma, come and visit me." How many luggage will you carry? Change of clothes, especially women. You are going for 1 day. Your bag is overweight. Food, all that is necessary, all that is not necessary, everything you don't need and the ones you need. You now get to the airport, you have excess luggage. 1 day journey. Moses did not have any luggage. Because God did not give him any indication of how long he was going to stay. That was a stretch. That was a major stretch. When you decide to stretch your capacity with God, it's never too late to become what you might have been. I want you to write that down. When you decide to stretch your capacity with God, it's never too late to be what you might have been. The Bible says, with God, all things are possible. If you set your mind on it, there's possibility for it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because of Moses' stretching, his growth with God, God set him apart. He was set apart from the rest. He was set apart. He was set apart. Before the eyes of God, he was well beloved. In the eyes of man, he became authority, and no one could challenge him. Even his own sister, that challenged him. God gave her leprosy. And the same Moses begged for her. The man has stretched. The man has grown with the Lord. Hallelujah. As you grow into your spiritual potential, guess what happens? Your enemies can only look at you, but they can't touch you. Those lions that Daniel went to visit in the den, they were not friends. They were enemies. Lion is an enemy of any man. A lion is always hungry. But because Daniel has grown with the Lord, the lions could only look at him. Some people have tried it, quoting scriptures that God did not give them, jump into the den of lions in the zoo, and the lion said, "Thank you, Jesus." Your enemies will be like, "We don't even just know. We can't just touch him. We can't just touch her. We can't go near that house. We can't go near that home at all. Because you have stretched with the Almighty God." Think about it. How many times Moses entered the courts of Pharaoh? Deadly Pharaoh, evil Pharaoh. Pharaoh that can cut anybody's head anytime. Moses only went there with a stick. Uninvited. He didn't call. Pharaoh, are you available? What time will you be available? I have a message for you. No. He will just arrive. Moses broke protocol so many times. They were having state meeting. He will enter. Pharaoh's secretary will say, "Hold on, stop." When he looks at her, she will stop. She's the one that stops. And Moses will keep on going. Boom. Boom. And stand before the throne of Pharaoh. And said, "The Lord said." And Pharaoh can only answer. All his soldiers and his armies. He couldn't even say, "Arrest him. Hold him." They looked at him and they can't touch him. And when Moses has finished speaking, bam. Bam. He just walks away. If you watch Western movies, gunslinger, you hold your gun and you point at each other. And both of you know you are, we are both on the same level now. I'm going to walk away. You don't turn your back. But Moses will turn his back on Pharaoh. And Pharaoh can't shoot an arrow. Pharaoh can't do anything. As the Lord begins to lift you up today, your enemy can only gaze at you. I said they will not be able to touch you. They will not be able to touch your family. They will not be able to touch your generation anymore. In the mighty name of Jesus. That is also what Thanksgiving does for you. Because like I said earlier, you bring God into the equation. Your enemies can only stay at bay. The Bible says in Matthew 5 and verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and power to prosper, are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." He said they shall be filled. There's a capacity for righteousness inside you that God wants to fill. But you have to be hungry for it. You have to want to feed on righteousness. You have to want to grow spiritually. And God says, "I won't disappoint you. I will fill you." The Bible says in Psalm 63 and verse 1. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. When I first read this scripture many years ago, the question I asked myself is, can you say like David, Carl, that you are thirsty for him? I came to a conclusion that yes, I am thirsty, but my thirst is not enough. I need to be more thirsty. So every day I'm becoming more thirsty. Let me tell you something. Anything about God interests me. I'm telling you. Anything about God, I'm interested in it. Anything that has to do with God, I am interested in it. You must want what He wants. Amen. The psalmist says, my body yearns for you in a dry and a thirsty land without water. And look at what Psalm 107 says. Verse 9. I'm closing shortly. For He satisfies. He satisfies. He satisfies. He satisfies the longing soul, not the casual soul, not the passive soul, not the soul that comes to church to talk, not the soul that comes to church to whisper, not the soul that comes to church to play, but the soul that is longing, that is desirous, that left home and said, God, I need you to touch me today. I need you to fill me today. He says, and fills the hungry soul with goodness. I want to close with this. Proverbs 21. Verse 21. That's a sign of round up, round up. Amen. He says, he who follows righteousness whether you are a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl, there is no reason why the hand of the Lord cannot be mighty upon these children, and they begin to prophesy. And they begin to declare the authority of God. They begin to see into the heavenlies. They begin to join heavenly meetings where mysteries are being spoken. He said, he who follows righteousness and mercy. You can't be righteous and wicked. You are righteous, you are anointed, and you are warning people because of your anointing. You better be careful. I carry anointing. Don't let me deal with it. I always threaten my wife like that at home. Be careful. If you don't give me my food, I carry anointing. No. Just kidding. He who follows righteousness and mercy. There's no righteousness without compassion. There's no Christianity without compassion. That's why you will see with Moses, even though he's the one that they annoyed, he's the one that is angry, and God steps in so that you can defend Moses. And Moses will be saying, God, if you touch them, forget about me. If you kill them here now, what's the benefit of bringing them out of Egypt? As if God has no sense. As if God has no common sense. Which he doesn't anyway. Moses was a man full of compassion. When they got to the Red Sea and they saw the armies of Pharaoh coming behind and the Red Sea in front of them, and everybody shouting and crying, Moses too could say, okay, we are in this together. What about me? No. He quickly went to a corner and cried to God, Lord, it wasn't because of him. It was because of the children of Israel. Lord, do something. Righteousness. Pursuing righteousness and mercy. What does he find? He says that person will find life. That person will find righteousness. He that thirst and hunger for it will be filled. And not only that, honor becomes inevitable. Walk in righteousness with God. Do God's bidding. Love God with your whole life and see God elevate you. And see God honor you. And see God take you to places you never thought you could ever be. You have the opportunity today to appreciate the righteousness of God. To appreciate God for your salvation. To magnify him for his sustenance in your life. Don't take thanksgiving for granted. We've told us before from this altar, the only thing God can never give himself is thanks. He's waiting on you to give it to him. He's waiting on you to appreciate him. Think about it. Somebody who does you good that you don't appreciate, how can he do you any other good at any other time? I want us to rise up. Your prayer this morning is that the Lord will fill you. That you, Lord, fill me with righteousness. Fill me with righteousness and mercy. Fill my heart. Let my heart begin to long for righteousness and mercy.